Hello, hello, hello. I'm your turkey lurkey hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz, and welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood to lick it right, lick it good, show you how to.
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets. So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
Goosebumps.
Hey there, and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Munoz, and let all things now living a song of thanksgiving. If you didn't grow up in the church, in the Catholic Church, you may not know that one. How about it's turkey lurkey time? Tom Turkey's ran away, but he's back again. Folks, Thanksgiving is upon us. Can you even believe it? Hopefully your Thanksgiving prep is well underway. You know, the house is starting to smell of sage, rosemary, thyme, I don't know, baked goods and all sorts of things. And hopefully you are in a safe place, like in your quarantine pod and things like that, and keeping your family safe or your friends safe or your chosen family safe. That's what I definitely wish for you today and tomorrow and the rest of this holiday week. Oh my God, big things happening on the pod, y'all. Big things happening. Before we get to today's guest, which I am super excited about, I need to tell you that In Yo Mouth has really fancy stickers and I'm dying to give them away. So if you want a sticker, if you're like a sticker queen, hit me up on Instagram. I will tell you how to get one for free. I will send it to you. No problem. I'm really excited about that. Also, it's the holiday season. It's the time for giving, you know, and I just joined this website called Buy Me a Coffee. It's kind of like Patreon. If you feel so inclined to buy me a coffee, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Munoz and what? Give back to your favorite podcast host that that gives you all the free and fabulous content. And I rarely ever plug myself on this thing. So why not every once in a blue moon? But enough about me. I am so excited for today's guest, y'all, because this queen, you heard it right, this queen sure as hell sent me some food via Uber this morning. Like, it was a whole production. If you're following me on Instagram, both accounts, you saw me queen out to the max. So please join me in welcoming the one, the only, Chef Christina Cibelli-Petter. Say hey, girl.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm super excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you on. I'm like, my chair is moist, is all I
know. I love it.
I have to start by saying and telling the audience, my faithful listeners from here to India, that you sent me what looks like the most delicious brioche French toast. I mean, listen, yes. My house is ablaze. You hear the fire alarm, the fire brigade is coming.
They're coming for some.
They're coming. Thank you so much. I am so excited to try it live on air. I've waited awesome. And
mine too.
Oh my God.
I'm ready so we can as well.
We can try it together. You know what?
Yay.
You know what? Let's just do that before we get to anything. I'm unwrapping. Look, a little ASMR for you all this morning.
Dive in.
Yes. Oh my God. Oh, it's so warm. I'm like literally holding a hot tan here.
I made it this morning. So it's fresh out of the oven.
Oh my God, guys. Oh my God. I need that custard. So wait a minute. This is brioche French toast with New York maple syrup custard?
I made custard, yes.
Explain this to me.
So it's kind of like making an ice cream base or a creme brulee base.
Oh my God.
So it's the same process, but instead of just plain sugar, either brown sugar or white sugar, I use the maple syrup and a little bit of vanilla sugar that I've made and I store on hand.
Mm.
So I use that for the sugar content of it. Mm-hmm. I make a custard. I toast up, I cube up nice and big so that it's got some volume to it, the brioche, and then I toast it up. I let it dry out for a day, toast it, mix it in with the custard, and then bake it.
I love you, A, for sending this to me. B, I didn't hear a thing you said because I'm literally making love to this.
Excellent. I love it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
So you can eat it like that, or you can cool it down and then slice it and then sear it in a pan with a little bit of butter, and then it's like French toast slices. So it can it can go either way. You can enjoy it either way.
It's delicious.
I'm glad you like it.
I love it. You know what? My litmus test for food, right? You know it's good. You know it has my seal of approval if I can't stop laughing. There's something about really, really good food that makes me just laugh. Yeah, I'm just, you know, from fine dining to, you know, cheap eats. If it's really good and I start laughing, forget it. It's, you know, it's the ish. It is the ish.
Awesome.
Thank you once again.
I am
going to devour this.
Excellent.
And listen, I broke my intermittent fast for this. So you very, very special.
Me too. It's okay. We'll be in the same boat today.
It's okay. You know what? It's the holiday. It's the holiday season.
There you go. Exactly.
Well, before we move on any further, in the grand tradition of In Your Mouth, I need to wish you a very happy National Parfait Day.
Ooh, all right. I love parfaits.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, ooh, what if we took some of this French toast and threw it into a parfait?
Ooh, okay. I like it.
Right?
Make a little like whipped, a little whipped cream with
like,
a little maple in there.
It has to be like a liquor whipped cream.
Like a
Grand Marnier whipped cream or a Chambord.
Grand Marnier. Yeah, you know, okay.
Something like that.
A little bit of fruit, layer it nice.
Yeah. Fresh fruit, you know,
because
this is sweet enough. What I really like about this French toast too is that it's not like it doesn't kill you with sweetness. It's like it's really nicely balanced here, right?
Yeah.
And it's like toasty and crunchy.
You can take a little more maple syrup or not. It's kind of like that middle ground where it's like it's good, or we can make it a little bit sweeter.
This is good. I'm literally just going to be munching on this all day long.
Great. Go ahead.
Well, it's National Parfait Day, and you're in luck because today's a two-dayer. It's also National Eat With a Friend Day, which is exactly what we're doing.
Yes, we are.
You're my new friend, and we're eating together. You know what? Let's just take another bite in celebration of National Eat With a Friend Day. Cheers. French toast cheers. This is definitely going on the internet. Oh, my God. Oh my God. No, it's the bottom. It really.
Yep.
Guys, I have goosebumps. I totally have goosebumps. Forget about it. We got to keep going because we need to learn. This whole entire podcast, Thanksgiving podcast, is just going to be us eating,
which kind of
makes sense.
Yes, totally.
But did you know? Because we always celebrate this day in our gay history here on In Your Mouth. And did you know, Christina, that in 1997, homosexuality is decriminalized in Ecuador following a landmark decision handed down by the Constitutional Tribunal? Look at that. It's a great day.
Excellent. Go Ecuador.
Yeah, go Ecuador.
All right. Nice,
right? I mean, what more is there to say? I'm glad this day in gay history was like a good news day, like a good history day.
Yes, not a bad day. Yes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of trouble and strife, to say the least, through the years.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the day before Thanksgiving. Like, I'm very sing-songy today.
I love it. You're musical. I love it.
So, anyways, for all of you out there who don't know who Chef Christina Sibeli Pettis is, let me fill you in because you need to know. Chef Sibeli is a private chef and culinary educator. She has been cooking and teaching for the last 17 years and is a culinary instructor for schools such as Star Career Academy in New York City, as well as various nonprofits, including the Careers Through Culinary arts program. Chef has also taught recreational classes at various locations for Sur La Table, ending as their resident chef in White Plains. I just noticed on her website, too, she does like online virtual classes for those of you out there who may want to learn how to make this brioche French toast. There was a plug. She also was the executive chef at Penelope in Murray Hill. Shout out to you, Penelope, that like closed down and then reopened. Holla. And has a popular YouTube channel, the Chef Sibeli, Cooking in Ripped Jeans. Did you know that we are one degree of separation, you and I?
I did not know that. I'd love to know how, though.
I didn't know that till I put your bio together this morning myself, and that I have a huge Penelope connection with Penelope.
Oh.
Yes, with all them front of the house girls. I know most of them. So like, awesome. Shout out to you, Cedric Lebo Jr. Shout out to you, Darius Vines.
Yeah.
Right? All of them.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Awesome.
So, yep. I got the girls on the phone and I was like, give me the tea. And they're like, you're going to live for her. We live for her wife. They had nothing but great things to say. And I was like, awesome. Oh, I love this.
That's so cool. I love finding out that like people have connections that they never knew about.
Yeah. And you know what? Believe it or not, In Your Mouth listeners, the gay scene in New York is very, very small. Big city. I call it small town, big city. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So like I just love that little tidbit that like we're connected in that way because that's my family, especially those two boys. That's my family. Like we talk on the daily. I love them. So
it was
special to talk about you to them this morning before we hopped on the phone. So shout out to you. But let's start at the very beginning. You know, where did the passion for the culinary arts come from?
Interestingly enough, that is not what I started out doing. I went to college and got a degree in sports medicine. And just towards the end, I was like, what am I doing? I don't love this as much as I love cooking. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, I was working in a grocery store as one of the front end managers to kind of like pay the bills for college at Price Chopper, actually, which is an upstate New York grocery store, which is
I live for a Price Chopper. Yep.
Right? They mm-hmm. have excellent bagels for not being from New York City.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, okay. Shout out to you, Price Chopper, and your bagels.
Right. Those bagels are on point for being upstate.
All right.
So I was a front-end manager, and I was always volunteering to walk up and down the aisles and put the shit back that nobody wanted. And then I started kind of piecing things together, and I was spending my spare time while not in class for sports medicine, kind of figuring things out on my own. Not that I didn't already know how to cook. But I was a 20-something-year-old college student who couldn't afford lobster and had to figure out a way to kind of like do it, but adjust it to what I could afford. That's how it all kind of started. It was like I was at the end of my semester, my last semester. I was doing all of this in my spare time, and I was like, why am I not going to culinary school right now? So I literally went to culinary school the week after I finished college, jumped in, had all my GEs already done, and just took straight cooking classes and like the hands-on part of it and whatever I had to fill in nutritionally that I didn't get while I was in college, and got done in like 18 months, started working as a chef before that even, and was cooking for people in their homes. And then I turned it into my actual career. And I have been a private chef ever since. Really my first culinary school professor is the one who kind of sparked the whole education thing. My mom's also a teacher. And I always thought she was crazy. I was like, I'd never want to do that. I did not like speaking in front of people when I was in college. I left that to the very last semester, the very end of the day. I put it off as far as it was like a Tuesday, Thursday class at 5:00. I tried to put it as far away from me as possible. I was terrible at it. And then I kind of just had to force myself into it because I wanted to teach. I started teaching recreationally at Sur La Table like 8 years ago. That's actually how I met my wife. And after that, I got into culinary schools. I got a career culinary school career degree where I could teach in culinary schools. And I took it from there. And I've kind of had like a mix of both. I do meal deliveries. I do private events. I have private clients and I do instruction. And that's like really the core and the base of like what I really love to do is teaching people things. Yeah. And just cooking, just playing with food, basically.
Yeah, I love that. Play with your food. There's so much to unpack there. First and foremost, shout out to all the educators out there, especially during this time, because this is not easy, right? Shout out to all the homeschooling parents. Shout out to all the teachers teaching virtually. Shout out to all of you making it work to keep these kids educated and, you know, and their minds full and because it's no easy feat. Unbeknownst, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, I have a degree in music education and at one point had my license to teach K to 12.
Oh.
Yeah. I went down a completely different road, much like you did. But
usually what happens.
Yeah, you know, spend $35,000 a year.
Have a really big bill and skill I can use.
Yeah, to pay off student loans. It took me 17 years to pay off my student loans. Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. But I want to know, did the sports medicine play into the cooking at all? Like, did they go hand in hand, or are you using like the things that you learned in sports medicine in some way in your cooking? Does that make sense?
It does. So at first, no. The answer was like, nope, doing something else. I eventually kind of got into the nutrition aspect of it and ended up working for Cornell. So I was teaching nutrition at Cornell through their extension program. So I was doing community nutrition classes. There was a portion of it that was kind of like geared towards SNAP benefits and basically like how you can use those SNAP benefits to benefit your family the best way possible. And so it was like part parenting class, part nutrition class. And I was there for almost 2 years. And then from there, it played into like my private chef aspect of it. So people who are looking to kind of be more nutritionally sound or who have like issues where they're, you know, like blood pressure or whatever, or diabetes where they need an adjustment. So at first it had nothing to do with anything. And then I started working for Cornell University and then it kind of like played into that. And I take that with me now. So what I learned through Cornell, through working with them. And then what I taught there, I've kind of taken to another aspect of what I currently do and offer, you know, like keto meals and, you know, paleo meals and low carb meals, stuff like that. I have a lot of clients who have kids with allergies because that's just a thing now. Yeah. Where lots of kids have lots of allergies and there's lots of concerns in the house. And a lot of times the kids don't have the same allergies. So it's kind of like, I got to do this here and this here. It's a lot of like movement of what can and cannot be used to benefit the family, nutritionally speaking. So at first it did not have anything to do with it, but then it really benefited me to kind of combine both of them and open up a whole new clientele, basically.
Yeah, the allergy thing is like running rampant. And I don't understand it because I feel like, you know what? It's what? Something like 38 days or 37 days to my 40th birthday. And I remember growing up and nobody was allergic to nuts. Nobody was allergic to seeds. Nobody was allergic to milk. No, you know what I mean? And then
eggs, soy. Yep.
Yeah, all of that. It's running rampant and it's a very real thing. Like my niece is very highly allergic to nuts and things like that. So we can't even have them in the house. Yeah. So it's really, really insane. And I'm just realizing right now that out of all the culinary people that I've had, that I've been blessed, I should say, to have on this pod, I think you're the first like full on culinary educator.
That's fun.
Like I'm just realizing, like I feel like some of the other chefs, like teach here and there, but you're like full out. And I absolutely love that. Talk to me, because we often talk a lot about, you know, the hyper-masculine kitchen or the toxic masculine kitchen. And I'm curious to know if that exists, that hyper-masculinity, like culinary world, exists on the education side of it all.
It's a little bit less. It's more of a, we're on the same boat and have to deal with the same things, and a camaraderie kind of thing. Any kind of professor positions that I've held, I have always had a lot of support from both male and female counterparts. There's always that one or two who is like, you know, yeah. I know better. I know, you know, like you get,
I love that you did that. They can't see you.
No, you're right. I crossed my arms and puffed my chest. That's what happened. I crossed my arms and puffed my chest.
Thank you for the visual. But that-
you're right. Nobody can see me but you. But there's always like that one or two. I want to say that like most of the men that I've worked with have been super supportive and helpful. And most of the women I have worked with have been super supportive and helpful as well. However, I will say there is that one or two on both aspects of things who just are not that nice, because the culinary world is often not that nice. And that's putting it super mildly to what like really, happens.
Yeah. I've told people that, like, cause I had worked in hospitality, front of the house, for 21 years. I've been in and out of a lot of restaurants in this city. I used to work on a yacht that went around Manhattan. It was insane. And I've had bowls thrown at me. I've had pans thrown at me. I've had plates put in the oven. So like, right. Mm-hmm. But I was always savvy. I was always onto them. And I was like, not me, not today.
I got my little towel.
Yep. I know what I'm doing here, right?
So, yes, exactly.
So yeah, I know and have lived that experience as well.
Yeah, educationally speaking, it's not as cutthroat as being in a restaurant setting or like a bistro type of setting or a bar setting. I've kind of tried to like dip my toe in as much as possible to make sure that I know that I'm doing what I am most passionate about, what I love the most, but also to make myself the most versatile. So I've been in and out of a lot of restaurants and a lot of catering companies and here and there doing like 1 year stints with this and that and whatnot. But educationally speaking, it is less like toxic masculinity than most other settings. But there is still that situation.
Wait a minute. Did you just come out as a versatile woman on my podcast?
A little bit. I do a little bit of everything. Try to dip my toe in a little bit.
Well, we got to sprinkle the gay in it.
You do. You gotta.
Speaking of the gay of it all, have you found that being a woman who loves the ladies, like, have you found that to affect your relationships in this, like, culinary world and in this, because, once again, the hyper-masculinity of it all and, like, the showing up and, you know, being perceived a certain way can really affect you and the way you work, like, in that environment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I've had a lot of assumptions made about me. I try to kind of, you know, put that off to the side, kind of ignore it. In the kitchen, you have to be like, you kind of have to be straight faced, kind of have to get to the point. I have had a multitude of experiences in the kitchen where people will mostly, I will say men. I've not had this experience with any women in my life in a kitchen setting. It is always the straight man, basically. And that's not to say that they're terrible people or anything, but it's just kind of how it has happened. You come into a kitchen, you are, especially being, you know, an executive chef or the lead line cook or the sous chef or the chef de partie or whatever, you know, you have a position of power, and it's automatic anger usually. And then it's like, what are you mad at? Like, my boobs do not change what needs to be done over here on the line, you know? So I've had where, people kind of think the I like the ladies thing is, you know, let me change your mind kind of situation. Yeah, there's uh-huh. lots of like walk bys with like a little bit of a grasp here, you know, like a little pat here and there, and whoops, I didn't mean to do that. You know, they act like idiots basically. And then I've had where people are like, well, you're not going to tell me what to do. So it's kind of, it's a rough situation to be in. It's, I've had great kind of responses and results and relationships with women in kitchens, because regardless of gay, straight, bi, trans, whatever, if you're identifying as a woman, you're already like bottom of the barrel. Doesn't matter if you're the owner of the restaurant or you just started yesterday prep cook. It's just being a woman or identifying as a woman in a kitchen is not well perceived, and it's just met with a lot of like, I don't know, just resentment, I guess. That's what it feels like. It feels like resentment and anger, but it's hard to understand, because those will be the same people who are like, you need to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. Like, you want me to make your dinner and have your baby, but you don't want me to tell you what to do in a professional setting. Like, you got to shit or get off the pot, buddy.
Exactly. Like, yeah, absolutely. What's
the problem? Where do you think you came from? You came out of a vagina. Like, come on.
I did. I certainly did, with a top hat and cane, as I said.
Did you have a monocle?
Like, no, yep. And I was like, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime girl. But so how did you come through that? What was your secret, or not so secret, way of coming through and rising above to being the fabulous, you know, chef lady that you are today?
Well, thank you for saying that. I like being identified as a fabulous chef lady.
In your mouth, listeners, she's blushing.
I sure am. I'm super pale, so you can tell. I kind of had to like put a wall up, basically. One of those like impenetrable walls where sometimes that means you don't end up with a friend at the end of the day who could possibly be your friend. But it's one of those like, listen, the job needs to get done. This has to happen in order for success to happen. So you're either going to do it or you're not. And I'm very matter of fact. I'm very straight to the point. I don't like to over explain things. Like the please and thank yous, I always tell my employees, those are implied all the time. Like, please and thank you all the time. Love you, appreciate you. We'll talk about it later. I'll hug it out later. But right now, this is what needs to happen. And it's almost like very military-like, where you're just like, okay, A, B, C, get it done. Let's go. Like, you're either working with us or you're working against us. You can be part of the solution or part of the problem. And it came with a very high, very thick, probably in Trump's dreams kind of wall situation, mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. it's like, I have to put on this face and put on this kind of persona so that shit's getting done. And it's getting done how it's supposed to, when it's supposed to, and as a team. Because when they kind of personify me as a woman, and as, you know, like whatever they have in their mind, looking at me as a, I am quite sure, I know we've never met each other in person, so I'm short, I'm white, I'm a woman. You can tell that I am a lesbian. Like, you, it's, it works all against me, like appearance wise. I look younger than I am. That also works super hard against me. So it, that wall kind of creates that barrier of business and pleasure kind of situation where it's like, get it done or get out. Like I always tell everybody, the door is over there. If you don't like it here, like we're going to be a team. We're going to be a working family and we're going to get this done so that we are accomplishing a goal together and we're going to feel great about it or you're going to get the fuck out. And that was kind of like how I had to kind of present myself, which unfortunately means that like people think I'm a bitch, but it also gets the job done because I immediately, just looking at me, do not receive any bit of respect that any other man, especially a straight white man, is going to walk into a kitchen and immediately receive for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up as well, these walls, because we as queer people, LGBTQ people, however we identify, like, I feel like automatically learn that trait in life, you know, through growing up and trying to figure out who you are, what you are, how to navigate it. And then the outside world telling you possibly and most likely telling you no, wrong. Right.
Absolutely.
And so these walls are up and like constantly. And so for you to transfer that to your work, I can completely understand, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be like type A, type B.
Right. Walls up. We're going to get it done. And we're going to move on because I have no time for the shit. And it's almost our journey to coming out has prepared us for like situations such
Absolutely.
As speaking of coming out. And before we get to the fun of it all, what was coming out like for you?
It was pretty seamless, actually. One of my favorite stories of actually coming out is telling my grandparents, who at the time were in their like mid-70s. So this was probably maybe 9-10 years ago or so. I kind of like just let them make their assumptions for a little while. They are Italian. They are Catholic. We are all super close. And then one day I was like, you know what? Kind of just got to like be honest. And it was one of the most memorable like coming out experiences that I've had to have. Is I was on the phone with my grandparents. They were, you know, they were both on landline, so they were each on one. And I called them on my cell phone and I let them know. And my grandmother was straight up like, yeah, so. And there was like this pause and I was like, yeah, so what? Like, she was like, what is the problem here? And then she started getting loud in Italian. And she's like, what's the problem? And I was like, I'm not sure. Is there a problem? I'm not sure. Is there a problem? Do we have a problem? Do we need to talk about this further? And she was like, no, what's wrong with you that you think that I would love you any less or differently? And I was like, oh, that's where we're going. Okay. All right. Great. And she's like, well, okay. So anyway, what's for dinner? And I was like, oh, well, that was easy. That's over. Okay, great. And it was like, it was just amazing. And, you know, I got off the phone and then I sobbed because I don't know what I was expecting, but like, you never know, you know, like you can love your family, spend as much time and be as close as possible, but you never really know. And especially with my grandparents, like they helped raise me. They were in and out of my everyday life. And when I was an adult, I actually moved around the corner from them and I spent like, they are a huge, huge part of my life. And I was just terrified and for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, but that goes right back to the walls, right?
Yes.
Right. And there's this like an automatic innate sense of like, I'm terrified. Right. And you could have the best relationship or the worst relationship, but like, there's just, I remember when I came out, I was like, okay, I have enough money to move out. And I had a bag half packed, just in case, but there was no indication I was getting thrown out.
Right. But there's like, always that fear.
Yeah. And it goes back to the walls. And I just love the story of the grandparents because, right? Isn't it, what is it about your grandparents that like they understand, but your parents don't? Because there's so many stories like that. And we too, right? Because we don't really know each other. I'm blessed to have a family chosen and biological that love me. And it seems that you have the same. And not everybody has that, you know? And so I love that you shared that story about like your grandparents, because I don't think we've heard a grandparent story here on the pod yet either, which I love. But I want to take a quick break here to take you into something a little fun. My favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the fun. Are you ready for a little something we like to call food news
updates?
Food news.
Honey,
you ain't ready, girl. Spill the tea.
Update.
Cholula made a hands-free hot sauce dispenser to replace bottles at restaurants.
Amazing. Hello. The lime, the chili lime version of Cholula in my fridge all the time.
Chili garlic Cholula.
Ooh, even better.
Mm. Right? That's my jam. That chili garlic Cholula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hands-free dispenser. It's kind of like getting a little bit of hand sanitizer. Yeah, love it.
Right? I am 100% here for this. So this article comes from my favorite site, delish.com, not a sponsor. And Cholula worked with Simple Human, now a tool designer.
Oh.
Yeah, and manufacturer to create the touch-free smart product. Now, you all out there may already have Simple Human products in your home. They do like the hands-free like dish detergent or like the hands-free soap dispenser and all sorts of things. Very sleek design. So the concept is similar to the touchless kitchen faucets that get rid of germ-covered surfaces. All you have to do to use it is hover your hand over it and Cholula's iconic original hot sauce will come out. Oh my God. I love everything about this. This dispenser is battery operated and holds 32 ounces of hot sauce. It has a valve.
I'm already making a spot.
Right?
There we go.
It has a valve to reduce hot sauce splatter and a completely new upward facing sensor interface to make it more intuitive for users in the restaurant environment, according to CEO of Simple Human, Frank Yang. For $130, you'll get a dispenser and a half-gallon jug of Cholula Original and free shipping. PS.com, FYI, all proceeds from the sale will benefit the Independent Restaurant Coalition, a nonprofit that helps independent restaurants affected by COVID-19.
Oh, I love it even more now.
Right?
Yes. And half a gallon is only going to last me a week. So they better send more.
I gagged at the price for a minute. I was like, really? I know. That's a lot of money.
I clutched my pearls for a hot sec.
But now that I know that the money's
the
going
proceeds,
to.
Proceeds, yeah.
All of the proceeds are going to the Independent Restaurant Coalition.
Love it. I'm there for it.
You know what, Cholula? Chef Christina and I already loved you, but I feel like we love you even more now. Ritz gave away 10-inch crackers that are the size of a platter.
Yes! Oh my God! The amount of pub cheese that can go on a 10-inch Ritz cracker, I love it!
They did it as a stunt, which I love, because, you know, charcuterie boards over this like quarantine had been big on the internet. So they were like, why don't we just make a big charcuterie board out of a Ritz and have like the Ritz cracker be its base.
Boing. Mind blown. Love it. I'm actually making a brunch charcuterie board after we are done for a client.
Oh, I love that. I mean, the limited edition holiday party platter is completely edible. Ooh. So you're saving on dish cleanup as well. They gave away 40 10-inch Ritz holiday party platters to fulfill, you know, our holiday charcuterie needs.
All right. I love it. I'm there for it.
That was like a Instagram giveaway. I mean,
that's fun.
You know what I wonder here? A, is it salted? And B, I want to know how like firm like the whole cracker is, because once you start putting like, you know, like a brie on there, like a melty brie or some like fig jam.
Does it get a little soggy?
Will it get soggy and like fall through the cracker?
That's a good question. My first thought was, does it still spell out sex even though it is 10 inches and not one little guy?
Wait, these Ritz crackers spell out sex?
Yes, you can, with the little holes on the cracker. It's like one of those like urban myth things that is actually a little bit
Wait
true.
Wait a minute.
I don't know if it was on purpose, but yeah, you can follow the little holes and it spells sex.
No way. I'm Googling what a Ritz cracker looks like. S? Wait, I don't see it. Well, oh, like the letters would have to overlap.
Yes, yeah, they do overlap. But because of where the little holes are, you can spell out sex.
Oh, well, I'm really here. Well, I see the S. I definitely can see an E, and I definitely can. Yeah, that could be a thing.
That was my first wonder. I was like, does it still spell sex? I'm also not 12, I promise.
No, but I am, and I love that. It has the holes in it. It does
Great,
have the holes in it.
Then it's big sex.
And Lord knows we love big sex.
Exactly.
Ritz, if you have any leftover, please send one to us. That's all I got to say.
Right? We will make the most beautiful charcuterie board.
No, we will make the sex. Sexiest charcuterie
yes.
Board.
Yes, there you go. Indeed. The sexiest charcuterie board.
And last but not least, the Cheetos Cookbook is here, and it includes recipes from some of your favorite chefs like Anne Burrell. Oh, she's fam too, isn't she?
Yes, she is. Yeah. Little like secret fam, but yes. So Cheetos, I don't know how I feel about that because I just had them for the first time like 2 years ago. Don't judge.
Wow. Really? Yeah.
Yes.
Please tell me they were flaming hot at least.
No, they were just regular because I had never had them before. And
they're delicious.
I just didn't eat stuff like that when I was a kid. And then I just had no interest as a teen and 20-something year old because I never had it. And then a few years ago, my wife was like, can you try this Cheeto? And I was like, it's dusty.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
I was concerned about the dust.
It's the cheese dust. Yeah.
I like delicious. To get my fingers dirty when I eat, but they're actually pretty good. I like the crunchy ones better than the puffy ones.
Yes,
but
I agree. I'm crunchy over puffy. Team
I
crunchy.
I have not had the hot ones, though.
No, you have to tell Miss Thing, the wifey, that she needs to go out and get a bag of Takis. Shout out to you, Takis, and a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos. Shout out to you, Flaming Hot Cheetos. Both not a sponsor. And and do side-by-side comparison.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
And then make sure you're home the next day. But that's another story.
Spicy bum. Yeah, totally yeah, get it.
So, but anyways, back to this cookbook. The cookbook is wonderfully titled Bon Appetitos, a holiday cookbook by Chester and Friends. That's cute.
I like that. So that's cute.
They're taking 22 different delicious dishes created by the likes of Food Network's Anne Burrell, top chefs of Richard Blaze, celebrity chef Ronnie Wu, and Man vs. Food host Casey Webb. The recipes include things like super cheesy mac and cheese, delicious Chester cheese ball, Cheetos mashed potatoes, that kind of sounds good, and yummy fried green tomatoes. Yeah.
Ooh, I love me a fried green tomato.
Mm. Yeah, I love a fried Those green tomato too. So the best part is that the cookbook is dedicated to a good cause. It is not available for direct purchase, but you can visit cheetos.com/cookbook and donate a minimum of $35 to World Central Kitchen, which will go to their Chefs of America COVID Relief Fund. And then you'll get a cookbook.
Awesome. Love it. There
and
for
I,
it.
And I'm always talking about World Central Kitchen. Shout out to you, Chef Jose Andres, and all the good work that are doing for the
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. Amazing.
Right? I love
How
it.
On earth he came up with that idea, I don't know. I love it. He
saw
he
people
needs,
in need. He saw people yeah. in need. He's a good person. And
he is.
He wanted to give back. And you know what? His legacy will forever be ingrained in the culinary world.
Yes, I hope that does not stop anytime soon, even though the whole world is in crisis right now. I'm hoping at some point hopefully soon. It will not be, but this still continues because there will always be people in need. And how he created it and what he does is, I envy him. It is one of the most amazing things that has happened in the culinary world ever.
Yes. Yes, I completely agree. So we are definitely both here for this Cheetos cookbook. Go out there, cheetos.com/cookbook and donate $35. You know what? It's the season of giving, you know? And if you're not buying me a coffee on that buymeacoffee.com/Munoz website, you might as well donate that money to World Central Kitchen and get a cookbook out of it. You know what?
Absolutely.
And then send me your address over Instagram, and I'll send you some free stickers. Hello. And with that,
there you go.
I think that's a great way to end. Food news update.
Love it. Yay.
This was a good, like, pre-Thanksgiving food FNU, if I do say so myself.
Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. Yes. That was excellent.
Yeah. Well, what's on the list for Thanksgiving? Anything? Are you like a traditionalist, or do we do big Italian Thanksgiving?
My wife Ashley and I kind of created our own out of, I hate turkey, and she was like, I don't really like certain sides that are like very super traditional. Like, she doesn't like stuffing. So instead of like a big pan of stuffing, or I'm so against sticking it in the bird and cooking it because it's not super sanitary.
I'm going to have to disagree with you. I mean, I agree with you that it's not super sanitary, but
yes,
I've been eating stuffing out of a turkey for almost 40 years. And I am still kicking.
It's so delicious.
It's really delicious.
It really is. It really is. My education professor side of me is like, don't do that. So I stick like mirepoix in there and citrus and whole entire bunches of herbs instead.
Yep.
But because she doesn't like stuffing, because she doesn't like mushy stuff in her mouth, we make it in little like muffin tins so that it's mostly crunchy.
Yeah, the Rachel Ray of it all.
Yes, exactly. Except it's not in 30 minutes, but yes.
Yes, you know, no, those stuffing muffins are a damn lie. And you know what? Shout out to you, RR, right? And I'm glad your house is getting rebuilt and so on and so forth, and that you are safe and healthy. But those muffins, stuffing muffins, take a little bit longer than 30 minutes. Let's be honest.
Absolutely. It's a bit of an undertaking. But we do duck instead of turkey because I do not like turkey.
I love
and
duck.
We both love duck. Like we do a whole roasted duck. I make it super, super crispy. And then for our collard greens, we don't use either pork or turkey. We use a smoked duck. So we do smoked duck collard greens.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite. Oh,
you know, I you know what? I'm going to just need to dig back right into this French toast the minute. Are you kidding?
You're like, let me just take a bite.
Now I want some smoked duck to go with this.
Mm. I know, right?
Oh my God.
A little smoked duck bacon or something like that.
Mm, yeah.
A little side.
I had to go down to North Carolina for work a few weeks ago, and I had smoked wings because Carolina barbecue is, oh my God, so good. Those smoked
Absolutely.
Wings were everything. Oh my God, so delicious. And there was like nothing to it, but they were just
right?
so
it's
good.
It's just the process. That's the thing with like a lot of cooking. It's more of the attention to detail of the process to bring out the natural flavors and kind of pair them with like something that works with them rather than throw in 3,000 ingredients. So a lot of the dishes that I do are very simple, anywhere between like 4 and 6 ingredients max. And that's including like salt and pepper and all of that. I try to keep it super simple because the technique and the process brings out the flavor more than, oh my God, let me throw all of this in it and hope that everybody understands how this is supposed to taste. But then it overwhelms your palate and you're not getting the true flavor of things. So we keep it super simple. Like with our mashed potatoes, it's potatoes, garlic steeped in cream and butter, salt and pepper. The end.
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Best mashed potatoes ever. Like, you don't have to throw everything in the kitchen into your anything, really.
Yeah,
and so, keeping it simple is the best way to go.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that tip I don't know why I can't speak today. And I love that tip. So, I mean, so other than keeping it simple, because obviously that's the message here for Thanksgiving, any other like Thanksgiving, last minute Thanksgiving tips for the kids out there, like hosting virtual Thanksgivings, you know, since Thanksgiving is a lot smaller this year for almost everybody?
Hopefully everybody, you know, kind of stays with their yeah. cohabitants, with mm-hmm. their actual, you know, biological family or their chosen family. Hopefully everybody's like kind of staying and not spreading. You know, I keep reading this article about that wedding in Maine that, you know, infected like thousands of people across how many different states or something like that. It was just, it's crazy. Like, it's not worth it to put your loved ones or others at risk, because the chain effect is like crazy. But for any sort of tip, I think preparation and I mean, you're going to understand this, mise en place, you know, which is French for everything in its place. Getting yourself prepared, having a list, not just walking into it and being like, all right, let's throw the turkey in at 4 a.m. the day of, kind of thing. Doing things the day before will save your life like you have no idea. Just because you are reheating something does not mean it's leftovers and does not mean it's not as good as it was yesterday.
Isn't that an interesting, concept? I love that you just said that, because just because you're reheating something doesn't mean that it's leftovers. And I don't know what people's problems are, those of you out there with leftovers. Leftovers are delicious.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be, if I don't finish this French toast brioche today, you best believe I'll be eating it tomorrow and the next day, but it probably won't last. But I mean... What? I don't get it. Like, yeah.
I don't either. I don't understand what people's little like quip is about leftovers, because if it was good enough for you last night, why isn't it not good enough for you today when it's sat and kind of absorbed all the flavor. And kind of just like, you know, it's supposed to be better. Like, honestly, like everybody thinks I'm weird for this, but I eat my leftovers cold. I like cold leftovers or like room temperature leftovers. I don't always reheat them. But if you're going to Thanksgiving prep the day before or 2 days before, you just have to be wary of the liquid content of it. Like, you're not going to make mashed potatoes with the liquid content of eating it right now. You need to add a little bit more liquid content for when you are reheating it nice, gradual in the oven, so that you are achieving the same thing as if you made them fresh, you know, today. With a left, well, not the leftovers. It's that's yeah. the point. It's not leftovers. So, like, reheating it the next day, add that liquid content to it. Same thing with any side that you're going to do. We make baked macaroni and cheese, and we always make sure it's a little extra cheesy, because the worst thing you can do to a baked macaroni and cheese is stick it in that oven and dry it all the way out to where it's crumbly and falling apart. Like, it's not palatable. When things aren't palatable, it tricks your brain into thinking it doesn't taste good. And like, when I teach classes, my best example of this is people are like, oh, it tastes like baby food. And then I'm like, but what does baby food taste like? It just tastes like food, right? Does it feel like baby food or does it taste like baby food? There's a huge difference.
Yes.
And your brain will make you think that something that is, you know, not super palatable or too one note. So if everything on your plate is mushy or everything on your plate is crunchy, it's going to trick your brain into thinking it doesn't taste good because it doesn't have a good mouthfeel. So be wary of your mouthfeel. You don't want to make dried out mashed potatoes or macaroni and cheese. You don't want to have that because you're going to think it tastes bad. So you make sure that your baked macaroni and cheese is a little extra, you know, cheese sauce in it. So when you are reheating it the next day, you don't have where it's dried out and crumbling all over the place. You want it to be nice and cheesy. You want to scoop into that and see that cheese kind of pull up.
Yes. You are starving. Speaking my language. Yes.
And nobody likes dried mashed potatoes. Then it just tastes like powdered mashed potatoes. So,
you know, which I grew up eating. I grew up eating powdered mashed potatoes.
Me too. They're not so bad. But then when you have like a nice creamy, fresh made one, you're like, oh, okay. It doesn't have to be dry and kind of gritty. So if you are, you know, prepping the day before, which you totally should be, you should be prepping two, you know, like 1 and 2 days before time, you know, be wary of that moisture content. Add a couple of cold pats of butter to your mashed potatoes, stick it in there. And then when you heat them up again, they will have that nice fresh made kind of like mouthfeel and taste to it. But a lot of times people are like, you know, A, I don't want to do it ahead of time because then it's a leftover, which it's not. And B, they're cooking for now instead of tomorrow, you know? Yeah. So they have to think about like making sure that it's nice and juicy and moist, whatever it is.
Yes, juicy and moist. That's the way. I like that.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. And for those of you that don't cook out there, I think Christina would agree with me. You know, Popeyes is selling a Thanksgiving turkey that's deep fried. Yeah, they have been doing it for years. So just reserve it in advance.
That sounds excellent.
Right? Or you know what? Or you know what? Pizza can be Thanksgiving too. It doesn't have
to be. Absolutely. As long as you're with friends and family and people you love, that's really what Thanksgiving is about, because originally it was not about any of that at all.
Yes.
It was more about, you know, kicking people out of their land and spreading
murder,
the syphilis
murder
and the murder. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, not the syphilis. Not the syphilis.
So we're not for that. So.
No.
Just, who cares what you're eating? Be with your friends and family and people you love.
No, nobody wants that shot in the ass. No. No.
Not at all. Nope. No murder and no syph.
No, no. Thanksgiving syphilis is not on the menu.
No, not. But if you're missing sides, I have a whole Thanksgiving sides menu up on my website.
That so may have to be the that may have to be the title of this episode.
I love it. I'm there for it.
Thanksgiving
I
syphilis
really love it.
Is not on the menu with Chef Christina.
Not on the menu.
Cibelli.
Yeah, I'm down for it. I am there.
Oh my God. This has been so great and so fun just getting to chat and laugh with you. I can't thank you enough for this brioche French toast. Tell the kids where they can find you, please.
ChefCibelli.com. I do meal delivery. I do private events. I have private clients. I do Zoom classes, not so much with the in-person classes anymore, but I am there. We can do group classes. I just did a team building, a bi-coastal team building. So we did it 7:30 our time. It was 4:30 West Coast time. So it literally doesn't matter where you are anymore, because we have all adapted to the pandemic COVID times. And so, yeah, you can take a class, you can have a private lesson. You can also just order sides, and I do meal delivery too, throughout the boroughs in Westchester and Long Island.
Yes, so that's it. Westchester.
Yeah.
Give them the Instagram handle as well, so they can follow and maybe slide into the DMs if they want to. Appropriately.
Oh, yes.
Appropriately slide.
Yes, appropriately. I got a ring on the finger. Appropriately. Chef Cibelli. So I try to keep it all the same, so it's easy to remember. You don't have to go. So the website is chefcibelli.com. The Instagram is Chef Cibelli. And then I'm just about there on the loading of the YouTube and all the videos. So Chef Cibelli cooking in ripped jeans. I love wearing ripped jeans. I'm like the Mark Zuckerberg of the kitchen. Like I wear
I don't know if that's
shirt.
A good comparison these days. I don't
just
know.
Just the clothes kind of comparison. You know, he's always in his, like his one shirt and his one hoodie and his one pair of pants. So I like to be super comfortable, and I kind of like to like just do things my way. And that's all about what the YouTube channel is about. There's various videos on there. My wife and I, we travel a lot, obviously not out of the country right now, but we still like to travel and explore and find different things, like different farms and different hole in the walls. I'm all about the hole in the wall places to eat.
You and me. Oh, hole in the wall places to eat. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought I was like, I'm all about a hole in the wall too.
Different hole in the wall.
Yep. We're not doing that anymore either.
Nope, that's not very COVID friendly.
No, actually.
Oh, that actually could be.
No, right. They, the city, the health department came out with like the sex guide, and they were like,
did they?
Yes, look it up. Months ago. And they were like, do it through a hole in the wall. They full on approved glory holes.
All right. Go New York City Health Department. I love it. They're here for us too.
Yes, honey. Listen, I always say it. The gays are everywhere. Okay.
Mm-hmm, even if you don't think so.
Yep. We are everywhere. We have infiltrated your minds for centuries.
You just don't know it yet.
Well, a big thank you to you once again. Lately on this podcast, I just have a hard time saying goodbye, you know, because I'm stuck in 120 square feet here in Times Square. But this has been really, really lovely. Thank you for giving me so much of your time today. It was an honor and a pleasure. And I am about to really dive into this brioche. This was super, super special. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is honestly my first time going on a podcast or doing anything like this. So it's super exciting and you made it easy and you're just the best. So it was awesome.
You. Thank you. We're just going to spend the next 45 minutes saying thank you to each other.
We're going to virtually hug it out.
Yes. So y'all out there, please be safe. Please keep your parents safe. Please keep your grandparents safe, right? You may not be worried about yourself and that's your own thing, right? Because I am not going to, you know, shout you out or shame you. But, like, just keep the rent safe. Yeah, we need them around. You know, we need the grandparents. We need our parents. We need Aunt Patty, right? Because what's Thanksgiving without crazy Aunt Patty? For those of you with a crazy Aunt Patty. So, and if you are alone, I know holidays alone can be depressing. Please reach out to your friends. Please reach out to somebody. Call somebody. Zoom somebody. I know we're all over this Zoom thing and this FaceTime thing, but, like, don't sit there and stew alone. You know, go for a run if it's nice. You know, do something for yourself. Take time for yourself. Meditate. You know, we need to take care of each other and especially take care of ourselves during this time, especially our mental health. So all y'all out there, have a happy, happy Thanksgiving. If you celebrate in whichever way you celebrate, a safe one, wash your hands. And as always, thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth.
Yay.